Could we turn, please, to Mark chapter 1? I'm sure, like me, you've noticed that over the years, the meaning of words change. And people use words today which are completely opposite almost of what they really mean. And some words are suddenly become politically unacceptable. When I was a child, we played cowboys and Indians. Today, I suppose, you play cowboys and Native Americans. And you wake up, don't you, suddenly one morning and realise all these years you've been married to a partner. That's no longer the wife or husband is a word that could be used. And another word today, which certainly I would say to an awful lot of people, is anathema, is the word authority. People want to live, don't they, as free spirits, to do their own thing. Their opinion is as important and as valid as everyone else's. But the truth is, all of us have to submit to some form of authority or another. We have to submit to many of the laws that our government have passed. We have to submit to the same with the laws that our local council. And of course, if we live with our parents, we have to submit to their authority. If we are an employee, we have to submit to the authority of our employer. And so it goes on. And of course, there is an authority within the church. And that authority, of course, is set by and found and read of course, in the scriptures. And we are to abide by it. And in this passage that I read earlier from verse 21 to the end, verse 45 of Mark chapter 1, the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ dominates it. Not only do we see the authority of the Lord Jesus, but also we see the servanthood of the Lord Jesus Christ as well. And in that first section, verse 21 to 28, we see, do we not, the authority that the Lord Jesus Christ, in his teaching, and the authority he had over evil spirits. In verse 22, we read, "And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, and not as the scribes." And in verse 27, "And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." Now we have to remember this was taking place on the Sabbath in the synagogue in Capernaum. The Lord had begun teaching. He had read from the Old Testament, and he was explaining it to the congregation, and not only explaining it, he was applying it as well. And we are to remember, aren't we, the words of Paul writing to Timothy, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he taught with as one with authority. And also, of course, we're told here that he had authority. The message that the Lord Jesus Christ, it is a message of authority as he proclaims it. And to some degree, that passes through. The pulpit is a place for people who have been called by God. It's not a place for anyone that feels that they like to give it a try. There is a requirement. And of course, it's not just for the preaching from the pulpit. It's for any ministry that we have. And that requirement is a calling from the Lord. And without that calling from the Lord, the ministry will come to nothing. And we who, and those of us, of course, all of us have ministries. But those who can preach the message, they need a message from God. They don't need a message from the government. They don't need a message from the local moral latest news. They need a message from God himself. And then the Lord will authenticate that message and put his mark of authority on it. In this particular passage, we read in verse 23 that there was in their synagogues a man with an unclean spirit, and he cries out. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching, and then suddenly there's an interruption from a man with an unclean spirit or a demon. Let me just read to you, if I may, something about what would have been the situation then, and to some extent is today concerning demons and demonism. Demons are evil or unclean spirits and are fallen angels, servants of Satan. There is only one devil, but myriads of demons who serve the devil and make his power practically universal. A demoniac is a person whose personality has been invaded by one or more demons who at will can speak and act through that human victim, deranging both his mind and body. A number of such victims of Satan were delivered by the servant. The unhindered power of God working through the sinless humanity of the servant challenged the supernatural world of evil and explains the outburst of demonism during his earthly ministry. The reality and personality of demons are attested in all eras of history since the fall, as in the case of Saul and the spiritistic medium of Endor, in the case of ancient idolatry, of which demonism was the dynamic, in ancient divination and magic, and in ancient necromancy and modern spiritism. Demons can derange mind and body. They know the deity and lordship of Christ in the spirit world and realize their predestined fate. They have a conspicuous role in the government of the satanic world system, in promoting cultism and false doctrine, and in opposing God's program and God's people. Demons are of two classes, the free demons and those imprisoned. The latter will be let loose as part of judgment. And prayer is the believer's resource against Satan and demons. But this demon speaks out. He speaks to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who art the Holy One of God. Interesting, isn't it? The religious leaders didn't recognize who Jesus was. Many people that saw him and witnessed to his ministry and his teaching didn't know who Jesus was, but the evil spirits did. And as James tells us in chapter 2, thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. And that's the testimony of this evil spirit. It straightaway recognized the Lord Jesus Christ. And the treatment for this situation was the spoken word. There was no touch by the Lord. There was a spoken word of authority from the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 25, and Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. But of course we need to beware of extremes in this area. I remember many years ago when we were serving in Wandsworth. And in this particular house, in this particular street, on this particular estate, there was a family. And they were much like many other families, totally godless, quite dysfunctional in many ways. And knock on the door. No interest whatsoever in Christian things, in spiritual issues at all. Then suddenly, they thought they had a poltergeist in the house. Now, a poltergeist is an evil spirit that throws things around. So what do? They panic. They ring the vicar. What else do you do when you've got something else? You can't explain it. And he contacted me, and we were asked to go round there. Well, we did go round there, and it's amazing. Hey, we got invited in this time. And we had the opportunity to talk to them about these things and to pray. And I have to be honest that neither of us felt there was anything really ultra evil in the house. What we thought it was one of the children throwing things around. But the interesting was, a couple of days later in the local paper, horror house, haunted home on such and such a state. And guess what? They got rehoused. Now, I'm trying not to be cynical, but you do wonder, don't you? But it's interesting, you see, when these things appear to manifest themselves, everybody panics because people just don't know how to handle it. You see, interesting here, hey, the Lord Jesus Christ, he doesn't spend a long time, does he, dealing with the evil spirit? Just says, come out, authority. And the evil spirit, of course, has to obey. But then look at the response of the people in verse 27. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. The Lord had authority over the evil spirit, and he is no different today. Tragically, there is a fascination about the occult today. And if any of us, know people that are tempted into this activity, and there are many, many ways and means, they need to be warned. It's a dangerous place. It's a dangerous thing to play around with. But moving on, beginning at verse 29, we see the Lord's authority over diseases and, of course, more demons. And the first situation is with Peter's mother-in-law. She has a fever. We read in verse 30, but Simon's wife lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. Now this lady is not just suffering from an upset tummy or a bad headache. She has a fever. She has flushed cheeks. She has burning skin. She has profuse sweating. She has dryness in the throat. And she suffers from violent shivering. And in a moment, the Lord, all he does, he came up. It doesn't say he said anything to her. He came up and he took her by the hand and lifted her up. And immediately the fever left her. Now, I'm sure all of us here sometime or other have had some case of flu. And you know when it really hits you, the only place you want to be is in bed, isn't it? The last thing you want to be getting up and serving people. But this lady, in a moment, is wonderfully healed. The Lord takes her hand, and the fever is gone. And it's obvious, isn't it, that the cure for this lady was immediate, and it was complete, as she's able to prepare and serve a meal for them. Notice, you see, what she did, what she could do. That's her response to the Lord's grace in her, was to serve, and to serve in a way that she knew best. Isn't that so? We can apply that principle to our own lives. that we serve the Lord in the way that he would have us serve, in a way that we perhaps would know best. And then the scene moves, doesn't it, to after sunset. And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. Again, you see, there's two sorts, isn't there? The physically sick and the demonized. And it says there, and all the city. This is all of Capernaum. Now, Capernaum was a very busy fishing town. It was also a tax collecting centre. So there would have been lots of people there. And you get the impression, whenever they came to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord was able, with his authority, to heal them. Or however strong and powerful the demon would be in the individual, he had the power, the authority to cast the demon out. But we must remember this. We read in Matthew chapter 11, where the Lord is speaking, and he says, "And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day." Miracles, you see, in themselves do not bring people to God. And all that the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished there in Capernaum, it seems that he still has a message of judgment for them later on. But then, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ, as we know, is fully God. But, of course, also he's fully man. And he's had a very busy day. So where do we find him? In the morning, verse 35, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Early morning prayer for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if he felt he needed it, how much do we? And the Lord always, as we read through the Gospels, we see the strong emphasis that the Lord Jesus Christ has on prayer. We will find him praying at his baptism. We find him praying at the choosing of the 12. We find him praying at the feeding of the 5,000. We find him praying prior to Peter's confession. We find him praying at the tomb of Lazarus. We find him praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. And we find him praying on the cross and also after the resurrection. And surely, if prayer was such a priority in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, it must be ours as well. But he's not there for long on his own, is he? Tells us in verse 37, "When they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee. And he said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth." Everyone is looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. But we see here another example of the Lord's authority. "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth." He decides where they're going. The crowd doesn't decide. The disciples don't decide. The Lord Jesus Christ says where they're going. And notice there, he's had that day, hasn't he, of teaching in the synagogue, of healing and expelling demons. But what's he going into the next towns to do? "That therefore I may preach also." His authority in preaching, and of course in the primacy of preaching. And then lastly, just those last verses from 40 to the end, where the Lord has this authority over the disease of leprosy. Tells us in verse 40 and 41, there came a leper to him, beseeching him, kneeling down to him and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. Notice, this leper must have, well, he saw something, didn't he, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps he'd heard other people speak about his ministry. Perhaps he'd heard how the Lord Jesus Christ had healed so many there in Capernaum and in other places. And he's got one desire, isn't he? That's to be cleansed of his leprosy. But he comes to him in a very humble way. He doesn't demand anything from the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't claim anything from the Lord Jesus Christ. But what he does have, and what is of course such supreme importance, he has a belief that the Lord Jesus Christ can cleanse him. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And the Lord, it's wonderful, isn't it? The Lord is so full. He's moved with compassion. The Lord Jesus Christ is full of compassion for this man. Remember, leprosy in those days was a disease of where you were ostracized. You were an outcast. You lived with fellow lepers away from anybody else. A sad, sad existence until death took you away from it. And the Lord Jesus Christ has compassion. Sometimes when people say, what's the thing to pray for? I would say compassion. To pray that somehow in each of us there'll be the Lord, something of the Lord's compassion for people that are lost, people that are ill, people whose minds are so, so troubled. That we just, and it doesn't come naturally, does it? I remember many years ago when I was starting off in a Trinity Road Chapel in Tooting. I was speaking to the previous missionary that had been there. He was telling me about this lady to go and visit. And he said, she's a bit difficult. And he said to me, and words I've never forgotten, we're called to love the unlovely. And all Christians are, aren't we? We're called to love the unlovely. And we can't do that unless we've got that compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ in us. You see, what it means, the Lord, he's moved to his inner spirit, his inner being. And of course, he reaches out to this man to touch him. I will. Two words. What? Wow, what a blessing that would have been to that man. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And the Lord says, I will. Be thou clean. And what it meant to him. What it meant to him. And verse 42 says, as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. Now, we don't know how leprous this man was. He could have been completely eaten up with the disease. He may have the beginnings of the disease. We don't know. But what we do know, that in a moment, the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses this man perfectly from his leprosy. He has a complete restoration to his body, a complete restoration to his face. And the Lord Jesus Christ gives him a command, really. He sends this man off to do what the law demanded. In verse 44, and saith unto him, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And sadly, this man disobeys the injunction to tell no one, and he tells everyone. He went out and began to publish it much. And I imagine it must have been very difficult, very tempting for him not to say anything. But of course, there is a price to be paid for this man. Because it tells us there, doesn't it? Insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in the desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. And this man's disobedience, to some degree, frustrated the continuing of ministry of the Lord in the city. And we have to be careful in the ministries that the Lord has called us, that we are fully obedient to all that he would have us do and say, that we don't go off on our own tack, that we don't go off on our own schemes, that we don't go off with our own ideas. You know, the basic thing, isn't it? As he went there in verse 38, to preach there also, to preach Christ crucified. That's our main task in the preaching ministry. And there are two lessons, surely, that we must learn as we seek to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And I stress this is in whatever ministry the Lord Jesus Christ has called us to do. Because every believer has a ministry. Firstly, it is only those who are under his authority that have the right to exercise any authority on his behalf. And secondly, if we are going to, and if we do seek to be a servant of the Lord, then we must pray for his compassion. We must pray for his compassion. Because when people do realize that you are different, people will come to help, will come for help, often when it's most inconvenient. I heard a testimony the other day. I was talking to somebody up at Beachy Head, and she said to me, "I come and talk to you because you're the only people that don't shout at me. All the rest are fed up with this person, but you're the only people that don't shout at me." So they see something. And I believe that once the church begins to show something of the love and the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ in its various ministries, then people will be attracted. And of course, supremely above this, we have to be preaching and sharing the gospel. Not some made up one, but the genuine gospel of God, which the Lord Jesus Christ preached, which the Apostle Paul preached. And what a privilege it is. What a privilege it is to be those who are called, to have something of the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ in our ministries. May the Lord help us. May the Lord enable us. May the Lord make us more and more compassionate. And may we have some small part in pointing people to Christ. And perhaps in time, have the wonderful joy of seeing them come to faith in Christ. Let's just pray together for a moment. Our dear gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he preached and taught, how he ministered with such authority, and yet, Lord, was filled with such compassion. Lord, we would confess before you, we are weak, but Lord, you can make us strong. And with your enabling grace, you can help and enable us to serve you. May we indeed have that joy in the privilege that you've given us, whatever our ministries may be. May we do them with great, great joy in our hearts. May we have the privilege and the blessing of pointing many people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And may we indeed gladly, gladly speak of our Saviour. And we ask this in his most precious name. Amen.